Abraham Lincoln once said, "Elections belong to the people. It's their decision. If they decide to turn their back on the fire and burn their behinds, then they will just have to sit on their blisters." Keep this in mind as we discuss today President Xi's third term in power and how that's going to impact U.S.-China relations moving forward. My name is Dr. David Wararu.
And my name is Dr. Ross Stewart.
And you are watching Geopolitics in Conflict.
Today in Beijing, an unceremonious departure for a former Chinese leader, Hu Jintao.
Xi Jinping has become the most powerful leader in China in decades after being given a third term as leader of the Communist Party.
Xi Jinping will be sworn in as the leader of China for another 5 years and quite possibly another
10 years. The leader
of
China, Xi Jinping, is set to be given a historic third term in power this weekend.
North Korea's Communist leader, Kim Jong-un, was also quick to send his warmest congratulations.
Wow, what a week last week was. The 20th Congress of the party, the Communist Party in China. What an eventful thing that was.
Yeah. Indeed, and we did a video on it, and we released it already. And we said last time that we're going to do a follow-up on it with the assumption that President Xi would win the election.
And guess what? He did.
Indeed, Ross. You know. Here is what I found very interesting, Ross. Now that President Xi has been given mandate, because that's, you look at it like in a mandate, he's been granted third term. And before we detail more about this, what I found very interesting is the changes that have been made to the, what they call it, Politburo Standing Committee.
Quite substantial changes.
Because there were four key members that were dismissed from that list. Of course, I can't pronounce their names, Ross. Can you help me out with that?
Well, I actually can. Let's start with Han Cheng. Let's go to Wang Yang, Li Zhangjunshu, and Li Keqiang.
Yeah, those four have been dismissed from. That's what I found very, very interesting. The second thing that I found interesting about is now how, for example, China now is going to set the tone. This 20th Congress was also, what's important in it was the presidency's speech.
Oh, that was impressive speech. And it really set the direction we think China's going to go.
Yeah.
Because he's got the mandate now.
Exactly. And this is why I'm wondering how U.S.-China relations is going to be given the next 5 years. So, because certainly the changes from what it was before, it's almost like parting from the past.
Yeah.
You know, China now is moving into a different direction. And there are reasons to all this. And again, we are just presenting the facts to the best of our knowledge here or our abilities. But here's the thing that we need to keep in mind as this relation between the United States and China is going to certainly be impacted one way or another.
Without a doubt, that's the case.
Yeah. When you consider, for example, that China, you know, China is more powerful today than it ever has been in the last 4,000 years.
That is so significant in terms of technology, in terms of military, in terms of economy, and so on.
Yeah.
China is in a very impressive place.
Yeah. It has the world's largest population. The demographics, you can just see. I know there are those who are saying demographics is going to become the problem for China. And it is to a degree, because its population is aging. And China will have to think twice about how to proceed before it becomes like Germany.
Yes.
Before it becomes like Japan, before it becomes like Russia, before it becomes like Italy. The population is aging.
Let's go to Canada and the United States. It's not as critical.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the assumptions is that because of the demographic problem, that China is going to fall off a cliff. China is going to be there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You take a really smart population that's remarkably well educated, and they can figure out all kinds of solutions to things because they must.
Exactly. And that's why I disagreed with some individuals who, in YouTube, that I watched some videos that their assessment about what the collapse of China, it's nonsense. It, to me, I kind of, you know, you respect their opinions, whatever, but the sound judgment is not there because they don't understand the depth of where the China's society has been moving, you know.
Right.
Because those individuals who've been saying that, oh, demographics is going to, you know, help the China being collapsed, it's nonsense because they didn't take into consideration, for example, the global recession.
Right.
How that's going to impact. They didn't take into consideration, for example, the zero COVID policy that end up having some impacts on the economy within China.
And not a good one.
Yeah. But nonetheless, overall, you think with China being the second strongest economy, that it will eventually overtake that of the U.S. within this decade. And that's, again, what's leading me personally, and this is my personal opinion, as I always say, leading me to really focus in, is this third term for Xi, it's going to be really about U.S.-China relations, given what's going on the global stage.
It certainly seems that it's headed that way.
I think so, Ross. I think so because the dynamics, as I always say, and you guys, this is not new to you. I've always said this, that you have to always watch for the trends.
Right.
You know, and the trends you're going to be watched for, it's like the idea of with the Ukraine conflict, what's going on, and how these dynamics now on the global stage have been so messed up. And I use the term messed up when it comes to energy, for example.
Yeah.
We all know what's going on with the energy shortage now in Europe. We have energy problems here with the high prices. Demonstrations in Europe are all over the place. We just don't hear much about it.
Their number one concern is not high prices. It's how to stay warm this winter.
Exactly.
Also, high prices is a big concern, as the United States is charging, 10 times the regular price for a liquefied natural gas? Wow.
It makes you wonder if they're going to put a price cap on it. But at the same time, now that sort of the outcome of the elections being clear, yes, there are those who predicted that President Xi will get the third term. We were thinking of it that way as well, but we didn't want to say it because we didn't know. So we couldn't say something that we are not sure of. But now it is confirmed. I do believe that President Xi is going to run to two main issues. One of them is domestic.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is global. So on the domestic front, the challenges that I believe President Xi is going to run to, he's going to have now to monitor the public reaction. And what do I mean by that? Monitor. Monitor in a sense of that being very careful about how people is going to react. And reacting to what? I believe there is a need to address the issue of small private businesses.
Which are in deep trouble right now.
Exactly.
Thanks to a shrinking economy in that sector.
Exactly, Russ. And that's what I mean by domestically. He has to pay close attention to that. Because small businesses, as you know, you've been around long enough for us to know.
I've consulted in any number of small businesses. And the issues that small businesses face are hellacious anyway. Doesn't matter where in the world you are, they have big issues. And now, they have this go on in China by the 10 million or so.
Exactly.
This is a big deal. Yeah.
Then you add to that entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah.
Entrepreneurs going to be now wondering, you know, should we have confidence in the government? Should we have confidence in the system? Should we have confidence in what the government is going to lay out as far as the business strategy to maintain the growth?
You know, something that caught me by surprise, although I've been looking at the pieces of it for several years now, is how dedicated the Communist Party is to maintaining the Communist Party. And the members actually believe they're vulnerable.
Exactly. Well, because here's the thing. To my understanding, and I am in process of writing a book about China, so it requires a lot of digging.
Oh, yeah.
The research part of it. And rightly so, because if you want to write a book about a country, you better understand it. You can't just write whatever. So here's the thing. Since I believe Deng Xiaoping, and I could be wrong on this, but not according to what I found, since Deng Xiaoping has always been one of the key in China, has always been the focus on growth.
Yes.
Now with Xi's third term, whether he's going to shift from that into security, this is what I see. As an analyst, I have to think in terms of security will be a crucial aspect for Xi's foreign policy.
You know, wasn't he in his speech, he said it 50 times,
exactly.
Security, security, security.
Exactly.
And all the rhetoric coming from the United States and other places about a war with the U.S. and China, cut me a break.
Yeah.
No wonder he's concerned about security. And $10 billion more armaments going to Taiwan? He needs to be...
Yeah, with the U.S., I think the legislation, Taiwan Act.
Yeah.
And we'll provide you a link to that. I had a chance to take a look at the bill.
Oh.
I didn't read it in its entirety. It's very, very, very long. But I also focused on the section where they had as far as the weapons to Taiwan. And by the way, I don't think so. It was 10. It was 1.8 billion.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 1.8 billion.
Okay, but that's a lot anyway.
It is a lot. But this is where the focus is going to be for now President Xi, that now he's being granted this mandate. You know, what kind of foreign policy we're going to be expecting from Xi moving forward with the United States. What I also find interesting, Ross, is that last week something major happened in the United States. You know what it was? It was the release of the security assessments of 2022. From the White House.
And that's an interesting document.
I read, and I'll provide you a link to it. What I found very interesting about it is that they had the focus of the content of it is on China. I even had a quote somewhere. I wrote it down as to how this is going to be now the focus on the United States.
With that kind of a document coming out, is it any small wonder that President Xi has so concerned about security? I mean, it's like the United States is just declaring its intention, and it's not good.
Yeah, and if I may just share a quote with you guys for you to know what was said in that security assessment. It says this, and I quote, "We will effectively compete with People's Republic of China, which is the only competitor with both the intent and increasingly the capability to reshape the international order while constraining a dangerous Russia," end of quote. So you can just see, and this is why I was thinking, since he was elected on Sunday, I've been thinking, okay, where is the focus of China's going to be vis-a-vis the United States, the relations? You know, there are those who say maybe they can mend the relations during the upcoming G20 summit in Bali, Indonesia next month, and President Biden could meet with President Xi.
I'm not optimistic about that one.
Me neither, Ross. It's because here is why, and I will give you our rationale for it, and you decide for yourself. Two things about, and something you know about, Ross, is the Asian culture, China included. Insulting somebody is a very, very no-no. In any culture, for that matter. But in this case, you don't expect to insult China and expect it to sit down and have negotiations with you.
And the insults have simply not stopped. They've been going on actually for hundreds of years.
Exactly.
And the thing that occurred in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then the thing that went on in Vancouver with Huawei, going,
yeah.
You think the Chinese are going to just forget this?
Yeah,
I mean, these are just unprovoked attacks on the dignity.
Indeed.
That's the word, dignity of China.
Indeed.
And President Xi keeps bringing up those kinds of concepts explicitly.
Mm-hmm. It's very important. The second thing has to do with what President Biden just decided on regarding microchips.
Oh, this is a big one.
That he will now revoke citizenship of anybody from the U.S. working in support of the microchips that goes to China. So, and this is what prompted me to think in terms of what kind of foreign policy are we going to be seeing emanating from both countries. And this is why the meeting, and possible meeting, by the way, sideline of the G20 summit, it might not happen because China is in possession to say to the U.S., no, we don't need to sit down. Even though they tend to be very strategic in their thinking. So sitting down, why not? Because they are not going to want to pursue some sort of a military conflict.
Right.
It's not in their best interest. It's not in the best interest of anybody.
And historically, it's not how they've handled things.
No, no. The other thing that I see this election of presidency for the third term is now cemented his position at the core of the CPC.
You know, the popular phraseology in China is the people's leader. Yeah. Mao Zedong had it, and now Xi Jinping is inheriting it.
Yeah. And it was, of course, Mao, then Jinping, then Jiang Zemin, and now you get President Xi.
Yes.
Even Hu Jintao, the former president, was not. He didn't get into that league.
He did not.
No. Yeah. And speaking of Hu Jintao, while we are on the air, I would like to address something. You know, I tweeted something about when they escorted him from the Great Hall. And of course, my tweet was misunderstood. You know, I was not referring to the Chinese government purging Hu Jintao. Hu Jintao is about 80 years old. He wasn't feeling well. Could it be that he needed to go to the bathroom? Could it be that he didn't feel well? And the thing is that the person who is, or the persons, two of them, escorted him were the same individual who escorted him out to take care of his needs. Because after that, he came back and casted his vote.
That the press never picked up on.
No, no.
Instead, it was the sensationalism of power play.
Power play and all that.
Excommunicated.
Yeah.
All of those things which turn out not to be correct. No.
And the thing is also, for the fact that President Xi was just sitting there, didn't do a thing, didn't say a thing, we misinterpret that. Because that could be interpreted as a humane treatment. He might be, dementia? He might be some, whatever that might be the case. We don't know for a fact. But what I find that ironically is that some of us in the West quickly jumped onto conclusion.
Stylistically, that is not how Xi Jinping has acted in the past.
Yeah.
And what we know is this whole conference, the whole Congress was in preparation for more than 12 months. And all sorts of deals were struck, policies were made, and so on. And decisions made without a public spectacle, as opposed to Hu Jintao, who they said, now this is a spectacle of Xi Jinping just cementing his power.
No.
So it turns out there's really the story behind the news is probably a lot more accurate.
And the reason I tweeted on it, it was just because it was unusual for the Congress.
For
something like that to happen.
Remarkably. But since Xi Jinping and the whole Congress knows. The whole world is watching.
Yeah, indeed. And this is why I wanted to clarify that for the record, just to make sure that, you know, because it was misinterpreted. But anyway, so here is the thing as we conclude this video here, Ross. You know, what should we expect from President Xi and the United States, whether it's going to be, I'm sure, because we're going to have president elections in 2 years. Our administration is always changing.
Yes.
You know, but our foreign policy is as fragmented as it can be. It has been for the last 30 years. And no, I am not bad-mouthing the system here. I am speaking the truth, whether some will like it or not. We did not have a strategy for the last 30 years.
You know, saying something that this is what's so isn't necessarily a criticism.
No.
Unless in your mind it's a criticism. Are we better off having accurate information? Or being gaslighted into, no, everything's perfect here. It isn't.
Exactly. You're absolutely correct. Well, there is one thing that I know for sure. That I know for sure is that tensions over Taiwan will not subside. It might ever get more complicated. The question becomes that we need to ask is there the military conflict on the horizon over Taiwan between the United States and China? That is where my big concern is. And I think that foreign policy emanating from both countries is going to be very, very delicate how it's going to be managed moving forward.
So I agree.
I'm sure we're going to be revisiting this topic within a few months. Because
Or sooner.
Or sooner. You're right. So, well, we look forward to seeing you next time. As always, prepare yourself for a changing world order. Till next time, guys. Bye-bye.